Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Carl from Deviant Legion and Incredibly Strange Television. And today we have the whole crew. We've got Vicky. Say hello, Vicky.
Hi, everyone.
And we've got Adam. Say hello, Adam.
Hello, Adam.
Very good. And, of course, we have his girl, Nadia, with me. But her name is Rachel. Hello, Miss Rachel, my right-hand person.
Fuck the world.
Okay, you're getting ready for the show tonight, I see. So I got to tell you, the reason this show started was about 2 weeks ago, and it happened last Friday. It was announced that Turner Classic Movies it was going to be the last time that TCM Underground was shown. And they had actually fired the person who programmed it in December. And for cable people, it's one of the few places where you could find wonderful, strange movies and such. And of course, you know, part of Incredibly Strange Films. I felt really bad about that because TCM Underground was the first place I ever saw the story of Ricky O and Skidoo and so many other, like, wonderful, strange films. And I think this is a horrible news. It just really, really bothered me that this icon of TCM, and also let's not forget that they're bought by Discovery and all this, like, cost-cutting and that, you know, it's all affecting everything as far as streaming. So I'm just going to bring it out to the whole crew. What do we think of this? And we'll get on to some of the other things we'll be talking about. But first, let's talk about TCM Underground. Who wants to take it from here?
I got this. So,
okay, go for it.
I personally am not familiar with TCM Underground because I haven't had cable since I moved out of my mom's house at like 18. So I haven't had cable in like 20 years, except for here and there for a few months before my ex decided he wasn't going to pay the bill anymore, you know, and I didn't even watch it because I was working so much. So I am not familiar with TCM Underground, but the fact that it seems really obvious to me where this is going. They just got bought by Discovery, right? Discovery's
right.
Got an app, right? Discovery has a TV app that they make you pay for, right? I don't think we're losing TCM Underground. I just think that, you know, people are losing free access to it. And I say free access being that it's, quote, cable. So they're losing their inexpensive or chosen access to something that, as far as I know, all of these movies are fair commons. What? Why are we going to have to pay for these apps and stuff so that we can see these movies? It upsets me for the people that don't have the advantages I do of pretty much having all the streaming services, or you know, all the ones I want. We had Discovery for a while. It's not that great, honestly. So I'm really not going to start paying them a monthly subscription so that I can see these other movies. Let's just hope they all go to Criterion or something.
Oh, no. No. The parent company in this whole deal is Warner Brothers, who is also AT&T. Oh, no. It goes further up the ladder than what you just said.
Don't even get me started on AT&T. We'll talk about that later. Good boy, howdy.
So, Adam, any words on TCM Underground? I know you're familiar with it.
Yeah, I was familiar with it, but I'm just going to say, yeah, it's a shame that we're losing it. It is true we're going to be able to find some of these films elsewhere. But, you know, Warner Brothers Discovery, the whole merger, where Warner Brothers was spun off by AT&T, then merged with Discovery and
HBO Max.
Yeah, there's so much. I mean, we can get into HBO Max. It's all connected, but sticking specifically with TCM Underground, the fact they got rid of, I hope I say her name right, Chirico, the way they did, after as long as she'd been with TCM, as unceremoniously as they dumped her. They didn't just say, hey, your block's over, but we're going to keep you as a programmer. Oh, no. They got rid of her, too. And that's another problem that I have with the guy in charge of the whole show, Zaslav. He's punitive in the way that he acts. He likes to call himself an innovator and a cost cutter and a money maker, but maybe he does.
Those
make
are great money. Buzzwords.
But, oh, yes, they're great buzzwords. And maybe he does make money. But, you know, the thing is, if you're making money only because you're now creating a cheaper product that's being sold for more, you're not actually creating new audience, because everywhere he's been, track the son of a bitch's fucking history, he leaves companies behind in much worse shape ultimately than when he found them. He wrecks things. You don't go and lose a core audience and say, oh, we're suddenly healthier than we've ever been. No, fuck that. But I'll save that for later.
Yeah.
No, I have a huge problem with Zaslav. And we could make a whole 3-hour show just on that bastard.
Nah, we're not going to. But what I will say is I'm going to take it over to Rachel. But Rachel has a particular little thing that she wants to talk about on Peacock TV. So why don't you give us that one, Rach?
Okay. Here is my problem, and here is the main reason that I am on this show, and actually it was me ranting about these things that Carl was like, we need to do a show on this combined with the thing that's happening with TCM, and I was like, yes, because even though I'm not as familiar with TCM, that's because I have been more than familiar for most of my life with these streaming services, okay? I am from the days of original Netflix. Like, unlimited DVDs mailed to you, return them and get more shit. It was simple as that. I mean, it was a little expensive. It was $10.99 a month or something like that. But you literally get unlimited DVDs and seasons of shows. You can have them all mailed to you. You get, like, 3 at a time, but you get them back as soon as you send the other one. It was perfect. Oh, the glory day. I was such a sweet summer child. So, and that is important as background to why I am so pissed about this and why I am standing up for my friends who only have cable access and things. Even though I worked in television 20 years ago, I haven't had cable. It's always been, you know, back in the day, it was just doing DVDs and, you know, going over to a friend's house if there was like a show or something that I really wanted to watch, which I didn't. And now, I found this out in the past couple of years, and I've researched it recently even, in fact, on my, well, I had a very lovely vacation last year, and it was about the same time as this year, so I was looking into it then. I have a problem with these new streaming services, particularly Peacock, which Peacock is the NBC one. That's NBC, right?
Yes.
Right.
Peacock.
Yeah.
Okay. I always forget. It's, like I said, it's been so long since I've had, like, regular antenna television or cable. So here's the deal. Peacock, normal, antenna station. Yeah? You get to watch that one for free as long as you've got your digital rabbit ears or whatever. Their app, however, so that you can watch all the shows that they have on your streaming services because you don't have antenna TV or cable. I mean, I thought that was the point of streaming. You can sign up and get the app for free. They will give you complimentary 3 tokens when you sign up for their app. Here's the catch. The 3 tokens are good for basically an episode, a movie of something. Something that they have locked in their app, because there's a lot of locked stuff. Specifically in this instance, it would be the show that I am dying to see more of because I love Alan Tudyk. Yes, Resident Alien. Resident Alien is the reason I hate Peacock. They will give you 3 tokens for free that you can watch whatever you want to. But beyond that, there is no way that you can watch their regular stuff, like, you know, earlier seasons of Nash Bridges, which, by the way, they don't even have the first couple episodes of, so why the fuck would you even want to watch it? Like, they're missing episodes in all of their seasons of shows, if you just go through and look at it. A bunch of episodes of things are locked. And if you don't register with your cable provider, you don't get any more access. There is literally no way. I have gone through all the forums and everything. There is literally no way in hell that you can spend money on the Peacock app and just, like, I don't know, buy it and unlock things, or buy extra tokens so you can keep watching shows on their app. No, the only fucking way that you can continue watching things on this app that are, you know, quote, locked. And again, I said, like, early seasons of Nash Bridges, why would you even lock that for some reason? Is if you're registering with a cable provider. I don't have a cable provider. I watch NBC on the antenna like God intended, okay?
I have a fix for that.
What?
It's legit.
Get better taste
too.
In shows?
No, it does cost you a one-time purchase fee. But since I'm an avid gamer and I love my PS4, I bought another one, in fact, so I could game on one and have all my streaming on the other. And so I get Peacock through PlayStation Network that has all kinds of apps for $4.99 a month.
Exactly.
What? But it's unlimited whatever crap they want to put on there.
Yeah.
Oh, you object to the $5 a month thing?
Why am I going to pay
$50
a year? Why am I going to pay $50 a year to watch what is supposed to be free fucking TV?
George W. put an end to that. You know, the friend of the corpse, he put an end to free TV.
I do now, because we just moved into this house. I mean, that we just moved into this house like 2 weeks ago, and we've been having problems with AT&T. Thank you. It's so wonderful. I'm in fucking heaven right now. Even though I've had like the worst shit show Mickey Mouse job day in history, I'm still happy sitting here in my den. I have, now that we've been here and we've been having problems with AT&T, like Carl said, we'll talk about that later. Since I've been having a problem with AT&T, actually, no, we've been here for 3 weeks now, and I haven't had any internet.
None. Well, I can use my hotspot on my phone occasionally.
But that doesn't count. Promise you, that doesn't count. It goes like 10 feet. So that is my problem. My
this
problem
is the,
like,
this
look.
This is the hardest thing from living in the boonies ever.
Yeah, well, I don't live in the boonies anymore. I actually live in, like, a big city. I live in Memphis now. Like, I'm in Memphis proper. And I got a big-ass nice house, and it's glorious. But I still... Television and access to television like that, I mean, mostly for the news and weather and things, is considered a utility at this point. That's why they sent out all of the coupons and shit so you could get your free digital converters and whatever. They weren't trying to make you pay for it. Of course, they probably knew in the future you were going to have to pay for it, but still, they were trying to maintain the level of $3.99 that TV was for people who just literally can't access it any other way. It is an important, I hate to say this, it's an important tool for people. And, of course, you know, what I'm bitching about is first world problems. I can't watch my fucking shows or whatever, but I also don't understand why, even if I want to pay Peacock money and I don't have a PlayStation 4 that has all of the cool apps that I can pay $50 a year for, because a lot of people don't have that.
True.
Why am I being required to pay for your old-ass free TV? And why, if I'm being required to pay, like, all this money to a cable company, not even fucking NBC, Peacock, as it were, why won't you give me an option to just give you the money directly? Like, how does this even work for people?
Well, there is. You can go to Peacock online and give them your money directly. I mean, all my apps that I run through my PlayStation, I register online and then run them through my PlayStation. Well, except for the ones
yeah.
on Prime.
So
your
PlayStation membership is considered your cable company. If I try to go and register right now, because I'm not doing it on my PlayStation, it asks me to pick my cable company.
Interesting.
There are sometimes
ways around
that.
Yeah, that's what people are not understanding.
But not always. And that's the thing that pisses me off with some things. I don't think they even have the app anymore, but FX used to have the FX Now app, and I don't know if it still does, but I remember being very pissed because I had cut the cord at that time, and it wanted to know my cable or satellite provider, and I nominally had my Dish. I was keeping my Dish around for like $3 a month so that if I ever did decide to uncut the cord, I wouldn't have to pay a huge, and I mean like ginormous, like $600 reinstallation fee. They said to me, I got this weird thing. I put in my information, and it said, not a valid subscription, must be fully active. And I'm like, wait, motherfucker, you're telling me that even though it's semi-active, it has to be fully active, I need to be paying a couple $100 a month for cable or satellite in order to watch one fucking thing? Now, I did find a way around it, but I forget exactly what I did. It was a pain in the ass. But they need to make this a lot easier, and maybe there should be, you know, ways that you can do this, that this is one option. You know, like when you are looking for work, it says, would you like to be contacted by phone call, text, or email, you know, you get the option of checking one, two, or three boxes. You know, maybe it should just be one way, you know, like when you're paying for something, use PayPal, credit card, whatever. But it shouldn't be exclusively tied to one authentication process.
I 100% agree. So it sounds like you've been through the same thing. So you completely understand.
I do understand.
Like, how ridiculous.
But at the same time, I will say that, you know, bundles like what Vicky's talking about are nice. I haven't used that on my PlayStation. I have a Fire Stick, and I'm not going to get into how much I spend on streaming. As much as we're bitching tonight about some of this stuff, my issues are otherwise, not so much the cost involved, although I do think that the rising cost the last year or so, it's getting me to go, whew. I've actually had to cut a few services just to keep the ones that I use the most. But
oh, yeah. I mean, actually,
yeah,
the only reason that we have some of the services we do is because they come through our cell phone plan.
I do think that, you know, the bundles are nice, and you should look for those bundles when you can. And I'm not talking just you, but the royal you, you know. Vicky's right. And there's a lot of great stuff, like the stuff on your PlayStation. There's stuff with some of your phone plans, you know. I know Apple for a while was if you got an iPhone, you could get, like, you know, 6 months free of, like, up to, like, six streaming services, which is not a bad deal, honestly.
Yeah, ours was Verizon, and it automatically came, and mine was Cricket, and it automatically came with a few services. But our Verizon account automatically came with Disney Plus, Hulu, and HBO Max.
Yeah, I know that Apple for a while was running one where you could get Apple and then your choice of I know for a fact it was that Disney, Hulu, Netflix, and there are a few smaller ones that they offered. But, you know, you could get the big one, some of the bigger ones, and it was free for 6 months and then back at the regular price. But, no, bundling it in, you know, that's part of what YouTube TV, for instance, is about. You pay, like, $79 a month or whatever it is now, and you get a certain amount for that price without having to pay extra, and then you have to add it on. So, you know, really what we're seeing is that streaming has taken over what cable used to be, but it's presented a whole new range of issues that in some ways at their base aren't really all that different from why people cut the cord in the first place.
Yeah, I want to get in here for a second and to say that this is all business, and you're right about it seeming like cable again, that with the takeovers and such, what's happening is we're getting a shrinkage of material that we can watch, product we can watch.
Oh, God, don't give me
that
Sesame Street shit.
You know, seriously, it's really, really bothering me. And I think I want to bring it over to Vicky because let's talk about shrinkage. Let's talk about shit.
Yeah, like
out.
HBO Max.
Go for it,
okay, being a science fiction fan, I am very used to this happening because finding science fiction on TV is very hard. And I was so happy when cable brought in the Sci-Fi Channel, right? And we all know what happened to the Sci-Fi Channel. And that was just the foreshadowing of what is happening today. All right.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that when one corporation buys another corporation and starts mashing things together, they're going to throw out the things that only some people watch, and they're going to keep all the things that a lot more people watch. so that their profits look like they're going up, when in fact what Carl is just, their profits don't go, they don't actually go up, but it looks statistically like they go up. Like Sci-Fi
right.
Channel started when they made their merger, their very first merger, and brought in Friday Night Wrestling, when we were all used to science fiction Friday night. Well, wrestling brought in a lot more viewers than science fiction, and so we got screwed. So let's fast forward to 2022, when Discovery, Warner Brothers, Discovery, and bought HBO Max. HBO Max is starting to fail. That app was never really good, and it was starting to lose money. At the exact same time that Netflix was going public, on they're starting to lose money. So that guy that you hate so much, Adam, Zaslav, whatever his name is.
Zaslav.
Yeah, he's brilliant. And he's a lawyer. He's a trained frickin' lawyer. And so he looked at what was going on, and he told AT&T, hey, look, if we take Discovery Channel with Warner Brothers and buy up HBO Max, yum, 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 you know what we're going to be able to do? We're going to be able to take down Netflix. And that's what they're doing. That's their whole thing. But back to Carl.
Oh, they're trying to, but they're failing right now because as pissed
no,
as I am at Netflix.
Netflix is going down. It's not going to be the service that we all signed up for 12, 14, 15 years ago, whatever it started. What happened
20 years ago
was that they gutted all of their science fiction. It was like, here's your science fiction, and now it's gone. HBO Max. There's no science fiction. And what they did was they took most of it, and now they're wrapping it up and bundling it to Tubi and to the other streaming services for ads. So it's not so much that you and I are on those streaming services with the ads because we can't afford anything else. It's because the advertisers are paying for the content to put their commercials on, and that pops up the quarterly profits for Warner Brothers, Discovery, and all of that. And so
I literally noticed that last night. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Keep going. I'm so sorry.
No, that's what's happening. They're taking our fringe shows that you and me love, and they're putting them on these for commercial advertising free TV stations that they also can make money off of.
Including the show Fringe, actually.
Right. And so, yeah, HBO still has it, but I'm sure that it's going to be shuffled over. That's what's happening. Have any of you noticed what's happened to Amazon Prime since 2023?
Because I haven't even been on it in weeks, and I tried to yesterday for my kid.
Yeah. Oh. Try one episode for free and then rent or buy into this streaming service. Try
yep.
this episode
can
for
I
free.
For a moment?
So
I want to
that's
interrupt
what's happening.
If we're bitching about Amazon, I just want to come up with something else, okay? So I use Amazon Prime because I don't have a car, and because the grocery store is like 3 bus stops away from me, right? So I use Amazon Prime. And Amazon Prime, you get free delivery, at least you did, if your order was
fresh.
Over 35. Well, this week,
Amazon Fresh.
On Tuesday, and this is fresh, by the way. This is fresh. These are groceries. This Tuesday, that minimum went from $35 to $150.
Yes. Well, you know that Amazon itself went from $110 to $120 to $149 to now $179. I mean,
do you know how much I
dumb.
Used to pay for Amazon?
These
because I've had Prime
jump.
For a long time. I don't want to know.
The original price of Prime, and they occasionally, in the past few years, I've seen them do for a very brief period, like literally less than a whole day, they will go back and it'll be their, you know, retro pricing. I used to pay, $60
mm-hmm.
for Prime.
Yep. Yep.
$60
they call it Prime Prime. They say, we're having our Prime Prime. Watch Alpha Prime, Original Prime, Enjoy Prime in its prime condition, and it'll be a sale that's on from like 1:30 till 2:50 in the afternoon.
Like 2:57 and a half p.m. It's really that kind of ridiculous. But yeah, when I originally bought Amazon, after tax and everything, it was $65. And when they went to 90, I almost shit myself.
Yep.
And now it's like, and I mean, I still am able to justify the expense of their membership because of, I hate this more than anything in the world, but Jeff Bezos owns my soul. I mean, he helps me be the hermit that I want to be. So it's justified to me because if I had been going out and using my gas, especially now the gas is like, you know, $1 billion a gallon. If I had been going out and using my gas and my mental spoons to go do and get all of these things because of my exceedingly weird OCD about certain shit, I'm one of those people that will drive to the different stores because I know it's cheaper over here. And, like, I plan out my trip so that I'm not wasting gas and stuff. No. My Amazon membership helps me and my family in ways that you would not fucking believe. And I save money with that membership and having stuff shipped to me for free in a couple of days versus my crazy ass trying to get out there and do it myself.
Yep. Well, it's just we pay way too fucking much, and you know,
exactly.
I can understand gradual differences in prices, but you know,
and product by the way, if we're gonna get there,
it's just like I get if a storm wrecks Florida and Georgia. And suddenly the price of oranges and peanuts go up because there's less of them available. But why the fuck was I paying 99 cents for a carton of eggs a year ago and now it's $4.50 in some places? What the fuck?
Bucks here, so.
Dude,
$4.50. Yeah,
I was
going to say,
I know.
I have friends on the East Coast that are paying like five bucks. I know people out west that are paying around six or seven, yeah.
Oh yeah!
Like at the price they're charging for eggs out here in the South right now, I can get farm fresh eggs for cheaper than I can get them at the grocery store. So, just let me know where you're paying $4.50 for some eggs because I would probably save money by buying a plane ticket, getting a bunch of eggs, and coming back.
Well, there was a lady at the place I worked. She was she had some chickens and she was selling a dozen eggs for $2.50, which, you know, those are farm fresh eggs. You know, farm fresh eggs anywhere else were around $3.50. You actually expect a little higher price because of what you're buying, but you know you were getting probably better eggs at a lower cost than going to the grocery store.
Well, yeah, with farm
the
eggs,
so
they
damn
last
pretty.
Considerably longer than grocery store eggs. And seriously, the fact that I can get a dozen duck eggs, for $6 from a farmer.
And that's
cheaper.
You're Daffy's and you're Donald, huh?
Yeah, like it's cheaper for me to buy duck eggs from a farmer who is trying to save her family farm and has admitted to having to raise her prices recently because they're literally trying to save the farm through the COVID epidemic, of course. I can buy a dozen duck eggs for $6, and that's cheaper than I can get a dozen large regular eggs from Kroger.
Okay, now I know we're talking about eggs and everything, but I want to get back to the streaming and that. That's basically what the show is supposed to be, you know? But Adam, we haven't really heard from you about your major complaint. So let's hear about your major complaint.
Well, you know, it's a lot like what Vicky was talking about. It's HBO Max. It's services like it. And it's in general, I mean, I don't like the way that Zaslav is taking things off and not finding a home for them. I don't mind for the stuff where it eventually finds a home somewhere else. But when, you know, you get, say, 90% of all Sesame Street available, and then suddenly you only have 30% available, you know, you have people who are depending on continued streaming availability as part of the deal that they had, and he's essentially breaking contracts, taking people's work down. It's starting to create lost media. I mean, it's in the vault. It's locked away, but I honestly think as long as he's around, we're not going to see it again just because of his mindset. And trust me, the guy's always been bad news in terms of he reminds me of a man named Brian Franz who came in and destroyed ABC's daytime division and also James Aubrey and what he did at MGM. That's basically what Zaslav is doing in terms of how he's gutting the catalog and what he's prioritizing. It's even more offensive than what happened with the Sci-Fi Channel, because by the time the Sci-Fi Channel ended up doing wrestling, it was already a shadow of itself.
I agree with you.
But
I still mourn the loss of Sci-Fi, and yeah, I know it's still a channel or something. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it isn't. I mourn the loss of when I started watching it because my now daddy, my stepdad, my mother dated him for a few years. He had cable, and he introduced me to all the good shit. He introduced me to the science fiction channel. It's what it used to be called.
Yeah, they called it the Sci-Fi Channel. It was way, way back, and it was.
No, they called it Sci-Fi, like SCI, like it was originally the science fiction channel, and then they went SCIFI.
That was only very briefly. It was like maybe the first year or so. No, I remember those days. That was shit. That was like 91, 92. That was, you know, and that tells you how long it's been around. But no, you know, but when it was in its first few phases, it was still science fiction. By the time it became sci-fi, S-Y-F-Y.
Oh, yeah, that was...
You mean sci-fi because it's not even sci-fi? I call it sci-fi for a reason, because that is not the fucking sci-fi channel. That's sci-fi.
No, the sci-fi channel was a miracle, honestly. I mean, shit, you had Dark Shadows being run daily. You had an afternoon slot that would run through hour-long shows that they made sure that no show ever went more than a single season. So you'd get shows that ran for maybe like 6 or 8 episodes. It was just a great place to find stuff that you never knew existed or maybe you dimly remembered it from your childhood. and all of a sudden, hey, and they would show stuff that was maybe sci-fi adjacent. I mean, Carl, I'm pretty sure they had this one show where they'd show, like I said, sci-fi adjacent stuff, and they put your beloved Coronet Blue in the hopper, which I think is a little odd. I wouldn't necessarily call it science fiction, it was there.
Oh, yeah.
One episode.
Now, I
got
to step in here for a second and just say.
Okay, can I just say that it changed to sci-fi, S-Y-F-Y, in 2009, okay?
Yep.
Okay.
It was rebranded.
So, to me, Sci-Fi Channel died. There, and I can tell you exactly when. When they kicked Harlan Ellison off the air with his rants. That's when sci-fi died. Would you agree with that, Vic? You remember. We used to watch
it. No, yes, I know. And I remember when that happened, but I don't think that's when it died. I think that's when it began to, when it began its slide down into death.
Okay.
It died when Battlestar Galactica.
Like maybe
ended.
That was the death rattle right before the death, but yeah, I'm kind of more agreeing with Vicky there because I had a lot more time with the Sci-Fi Channel. Probably, I mean, definitely before it was SIFI.
Yeah.
And again,
yeah,
I'm not going to change
was,
that.
In my area, it was on for 10 years before it turned to that horrible. Siffy, yes.
Well,
it already had the wrestling on it, but it still also offered some good science fiction.
Yeah, but now the problem with them is, and they have confirmed this, literally, send in a script, they'll probably make it. And it sounds so stupid, and I sound like I'm making a joke, but that is not a joke. You can actually look up this information, and that's why we have things like I'm not bashing on Sharknado and Clownnado and all of that. Well, yeah, I am, because you're supposed to. They're supposed to be bad.
Yeah, they're supposed to be bad.
But the fact that they literally went from, we are going to bring you all of this actual science fiction fare, because, you know, that's what our station is named, to not just wrestling. Now, you know, I can almost see the wrestling because it is a fantasy thing, and we do have to remember that sci-fi / fantasy are coupled together. Don't forget that. So it can't just all be, you know, space lords and shit. Gotta have some dragons and fantasy in there because you find all the same books together in the library, right? I'm cool with the fantasy. And as far as I'm concerned, wrestling is nothing but a cheap fantasy.
Hey, Mary,
so
that's why Andre the Giant
I
was so good in Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm. And so to me, honestly, I even kind of understood their wrestling moves. But at that point, like I said, I moved out of my mom's house at like 18 or 19. So I actually moved out before they went to their new bullshit. So I didn't have TV. I didn't have cable television after that point. And this was back in the years of real rabbit ears. So the only time I ever tried to watch actual television at all and like pulled my rabbit ears out of the closet was because I lived in Arkansas in the middle of Tornado Alley, so there was a couple of times a year I had to pull the TV out or the rabbit ears out and hook them up to the TV and make sure that we weren't going to die in the next 30 seconds. But beyond that, I didn't have any of that. So I understood that even the move to wrestling, it wasn't until a number of years later when I told you, you know, my ex had cable or satellite TV, whichever service that he wasn't in trouble with at that point, he would get it for a few months, not pay the bill, get in trouble, whatever. So off and on for about 2 years, I had some cable and satellite access very infrequently. And that's when I saw that it went from sci-fi to sticky. And I noticed, I was like, what is all this shit? What is clown? What is Sharknado? What is going on here? Why can't I watch, like, Loopers or some shit? What is... Mm-mm. Of course, I remember back in the days, the shows that were obviously shitty, but, like, VR5, Sliders, and shit like that. Like, that was my sci-fi.
Hey, Sliders was cool in the first season.
Yeah, Sliders.
Yes, it was.
It was fun, you know, and we're not talking quality here. I want to move on to something else very quickly, and this is my secondary rant.
Yeah.
My secondary rant has to go.
Well, actually, before you do that, Carl, I didn't get to finish up the bigger point I was making, which is, the stuff that we're seeing with we're having price issues. We're having availability issues for a variety of reasons. And one of the great things about streaming as opposed to cable is that, you know, yeah, things came and went, but they sat there longer. You didn't have to wait for something to be shown again. As long as it was there for you to, quote-unquote, dial up, to punch in, to order up, to start streaming. And what we're seeing is we're seeing it go away. Maybe it'll come back. Maybe it won't. There's a greater chance it won't than ever before. And streaming has started to be much more like cable in that regard and just brings home why physical media is and always will be the best way to have TV, movies, books, and music because you don't have to rely on anybody else. You don't have to deal with DMR or DRM rights. Fucking forget it. Buy it once. Own it for yourself.
Forever.
And, you know, there is such a thing as convenience. I will admit to having a copy of a movie on my shelf and the other day saying, you know what, I am so tired right now. I don't want to get up and walk into the next room to get it. I will sit here and stream it. But you know what? I can't do that if I want to, say, watch all the Looney Tunes cartoons. I have to get up and watch my Golden Collection. If I want to watch, say, let's say, The Godfather Part 3 in the recent cut, you can order it sometimes. Sometimes it's not available. I have a copy there. I have copies of lots of movies. You need to have physical media, and streaming was, for a while, a beautiful, wonderful mid-step between those. It's not that anymore, especially the last, I'm not even going to say the last 12 months. I'm going to say it's gotten really bad the last, like, maybe 4 or 5 months. It's just increased. I mean, the momentum of crap that isn't available and that is has increased, decreased, depending on the way you want to look at it. I just wish I was rich enough to afford more DVDs and Blu-rays. And you know, I'll say this, and maybe Vicky will agree with me. I found myself playing more video games lately. As much as I love movies and TV, I found myself playing video games more in the last 6 months than I had in the last 6 years, because movies and shows that were available for me to watch aren't anymore.
I agree.
Or if they are, and especially because, like, all of us here on this podcast, of course, we all watch the weirder fare. So a lot of times when I'm looking for a movie, it's not going to be a $2.99 48-hour rental.
Oh, come on, Rachel. There's absolutely nothing weird about watching Mad God or The Sinful Dwarf.
Okay. Well, tell that to Amazon then, because they don't even have The Sinful Dwarf right now.
But
well, I have a copy on my shelf.
Okay, I want to go into something else, okay?
Can I really quickly say something regarding this, Carl?
Okay, but
I just
want to
tell...
Okay. Go for it.
Okay, I just want to tell all of our listeners that there is a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful app called Just Watch. And it will find you anywhere that your chosen media is available. It will tell you if it's streaming, if you have to rent it, if you have to buy it. And that has been a great blessing in my life recently, because I was telling you earlier, Vicki, I noticed that yesterday, that all of these things that I used to be able to watch for free on like Netflix and HBO, they're now on ad services, because the show I was trying to show my kid yesterday was on Freevee. Used to be for free on Amazon. But anyway, I used the Just Watch app and found out where I could watch it for free, even if it was for free with ads. So
I have to interject right here. Carl, please hold that thought for just a second. Here's a prime example of what I was thinking. I had found a copy of Brewster's Millions free without ads. Awesome. Cool. I put it away because I wasn't able to finish it. Something came up. When I came back to it the next day, it wasn't there. But it was now on something with ads. I started that up. Put it back to where I had stopped off about 20 minutes into the movie. The ads came every 5 minutes. It was insane.
Yep.
I said, damn. I looked and I saw that it was available for rent or purchase. And I went, well, shit, that's that. Now, get this. This is how fast it can change. The next day, I said, you know, I really want to look for it again. I decided to do some real digging. It was back on a free app without commercials. It had switched to another one that quickly.
Yep.
But this is annoying. This is annoying. So, sorry, I just had to put that out there. So please, Carl, say what you're going to say.
Okay. I have a couple of things I need to say as we start to wrap up here.
So we only have an hour?
No, we have more than that.
Okay.
We have more. So I have a couple of things I want to say. One thing is about content. What really bothers me, and this has to go with Netflix more than anything else, but it can go with any streaming service. You know, there are shows that they promote, and there are shows that sort of they don't promote. And why spend the money when you don't have the backing? And what will happen is you get a show that you watch and you want to watch and it's really good, and then they're not going to renew it. And it's like, why do they even try? Because it just bothers me that so many shows that I've wanted to see suddenly are not only canceled, you can't get them anymore. They're gone. You know, so if I want to rewatch something, you know, and it really bothers me. The second thing I want to say is that there's too much being produced. I think that they're really, really doing too much and spending too much money, and that's why they're raising prices, because they're wasting money on not, you know, really backing the stuff that they pick. Now,
I'm not following
through.
What
do you guys think about that note? What?
On not following through.
Yeah.
They're wasting money on not following through. It's like every show has an season. But you know what? Some of those shows that have had a second or third season were still good enough to keep watching into the third or fourth season, where it became the most prolific shit ever.
Right.
Yep.
Some shows like Vicky's one show she loves so much that was transferred to Netflix.
The Expanse.
You know, and you get that, but there are so many originals that they do not back. And the one that I absolutely just pissed about is Archive 81.
We need a movie or something to wrap that up, because the way that ended, that just sucks that we're never gonna get any answers.
Yeah, seriously. And I mean, that happens all the time. And you get invested in something and they don't let it breathe. Oh, we're not making enough. We're not getting enough people watching it on the first day, so fuck it. It's gone. And they make that decision so arbitrarily, in my view, that it really pisses me off. Because you know what? If you're going to spend money, invest. Say, this is the show we're going to invest in. We're not going to do those three other shows. We're going to focus on this one because we think this one will do the best. You know, I'd rather have that and have shitty shows that go for 3 or 4 years. You know, that's not my type of thing, because let's face it, my type of show, not everyone's going to watch.
You know, there's this idea out there that the first time you make a mistake, the first time that you fall behind by even an inch or a cent, it should all be over. And perfect is the enemy of good enough.
Right. And the other thing, too, is, you know what? There's enough genre apps out there. I'm looking at Arrow. I'm looking at Midnight Pulp. I'm looking at Shudder. Okay? That if these shows aren't going to make it on the big platforms, let them go to the smaller ones. The ones that I pay for that are good, because I watch most of that shit.
Well, you know, the nice thing is some places like Netflix and Amazon have deals with the creators of the shows, where after a certain amount of time, I think it's typically something weird like 7 months. They can start shopping their material somewhere else, see if someone else wants to pick it up. And that was a lot of people were fearing was going to have to happen with Sandman. Granted, you got the name Neil Gaiman involved there, and that does change things. But, you know, it's very rare that you see something switch. I mean, look at Cobra Kai. It did, what, 2 years on YouTube, and now it's done another 3 or 4 on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Netflix averages 2 seasons. 2 seasons. And here's the thing. People have kind of figured out what the secret to Netflix's formula is, and a lot of streaming services use something similar to this. It's not just who's watching, or how much or how many people are watching. It's how many people are watching, say, a series or a movie all the way to the end. So let's say that you decide to start up Archive 81. I think it had 8 episodes.
Right.
You needed to watch it all the way to the end for Netflix to be happy. But here's the thing. People get busy. People will say, you know what, I love it, but I'm not gonna be able to see another episode of this for like 2 more weeks. But then I'm on vacation, and I'm gonna be able to watch the rest of it. And they watch it, they watch the next 4, 5, 6 episodes, and they actually do finish it. But by then, Netflix has decided that their time frame plus completion formula is king. So, yeah, maybe you completed it, but you didn't complete it within that first 3 or 4 weeks. You know, and that kind of sucks, because that really favors early adopters and people with a lot of time on their hands. And you mentioned having a lot of content out there. I know a few years ago they said that there were like 500 or 600 scripted programs across network, streaming, and cable in the U.S. alone. And that is just insane. But what's even more insane is there's something like 800 or 900 now. It just keeps growing. Now, granted, a lot of these are little tiny.
I do have to tell you about the other side of this, because there's people like me. Okay, Carl, please don't hate me for this. I never finished Warehouse 81, and here's the reason. I was watching it on recommendation from my good buddy Carl. And I had to stop watching it briefly because I had to watch a few other things for, the podcast I do, where I have to watch things that aren't just Warehouse 81. So it only took me maybe a week or so before I picked it back up. But by the time I was picking Warehouse 81 back up, Netflix had already decided they're not renewing it.
Yeah, and what about things building buzz? I mean, look at the way shows like Hill Street Blues, which was only ever briefly a top 20 show, but had tons of critical acclaim, entered the zeitgeist, and had it not gone beyond season one, we'd have been denied those great seasons 2, 3, 4, and 5. Not only that, but I mean, that's just one example. But you know, networks have always been about money, but they also like prestige. And sometimes, if there was a buzzy enough show, they'd say, you know, we're going to give this a chance. We're going to see what happens. And sometimes you've got to give a show a chance. A first season can be about it finding its audience. You know, how many shows have had adequate first season numbers and then suddenly, like midway through season two, blow up? People talk about ER being a hit from the start, and it was, but it was end of season two that it was already the number one show on TV in terms of numbers for scripted dramas, but it was the end of season two through the middle of season five that it just became this unbeatable juggernaut. And you know, I remember the critics saying that they thought Chicago Hope was going to be the bigger hit, and they expected ER to be a big-budget flop that would last maybe 10 episodes, and that Chicago Hope may become a Marcus Welby type of deal in terms of, you know, 8, 10, 15 years. Well, you know, that was wrong. But Chicago Hope did, despite middling ratings, last something like 6 years on CBS. CBS stuck with it. They gave it a chance, just like NBC stuck with Homicide, which never had great ratings, and they stuck with it for 7 seasons. This doesn't happen anymore.
No, it doesn't, and that's a big problem for me, and again, it's also what we said about how many shows are out there. There's just too much of a glut. There's just too much of a glut
sure
to choose from.
I'm not sure that's true. I don't think that's true. There's too much of a glut. There's when I'm flipping through shows, there's too much of what I don't want to watch on, but that doesn't mean the house next door to mine likes what I want to watch and isn't
right.
Watching that stuff I flip through. I don't think that's the problem. I don't think that's the problem at all. I mean, you know, that's like saying we should just throw out the encyclopedia because there's just too much in it. No, that's not right. Being a filmmaker on a low budget, meaning I worked with people who don't get paychecks, who love the craft. I don't think there's too much out there. What I think is that the streaming services are too fucking greedy. They want quarterly profits just like a bank, or just like a mortgage company is a bank. That's what they want. They want to be, plus they have the bragging rights, right? But they wanted to jettison our physical media for streaming and be super rich. And this all started when Netflix became bigger than Disney. Because Netflix, those little guys who decided to send you movies who were our champions at first, they're the ones who turned around and screwed us in the back end. They're the ones who have changed it all and said, fuck you, subscribers. We're gonna prosecute you if you give your son or your daughter who's in college your Netflix, But that's the thing. It's not that there's too much content. Hell, there could be so much more content. They could spread the money around, but they're fucking greedy, period. And I hope there are goddamn buildings burned.
That's absolutely true. I'm with you 100%. Here's another thing that I've been thinking of. You know, yeah, I think the whole password sharing thing is dumb. I think that's not something they need to be worried about. And here's something that I don't hear anyone talking about. Okay, Adam wants to take a vacation. He wants to take his Fire Stick because he's going to be staying at a hotel for a week. And he's going to want to watch his shit at the hotel sometimes.
And I already paid for it.
So why am I supposed to be tied to a physical fucking location? Stop making streaming like it's fucking cable.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where the greed comes in. They are so greedy that now they're telling you, oh, if you take your laptop on vacation with you or on a business trip with you, well, you can't log in to Netflix because we're thinking you're sharing your password and we're going to come after you. And it's bullshit.
Yeah.
We pay for it. I pay for no ads. I freaking hate advertisers. They're the scourge of our lives. And now they're trying to force me to watch their TV with ads because blah, 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 it's costing too much. They're shrinking. No, physical media, I just ordered a bunch of physical media today, and it's coming in whatever way it gets here, post office.
You know what I used to pay for with Netflix? Know what I used to pay for? I used to be able to share my account with people because there was an option on Netflix to pay them to let you do that.
Yep, and here's something else. We're talking about movies and TV here, but I know Vicky's a gamer too, and she'll remember when Microsoft fucked up. They totally screwed the pooch with their Xbox One launch because they were tying it to you had to be online, you had to have them monitor your games, you had to have this, you had to have that. And you know what? They said, if you buy a disc, it gets locked into your machine. Not only does it get locked into your machine, it gets locked into your IP. So if you move or you change providers, you're fucked. So you know what Sony did? Sony had the greatest commercial of that era. They had a simple commercial where what it was they had, hi, we're Sony. Microsoft says that you have to do this, this, and this. But we at Sony believe that you should be able to share games. You can't do that here. You know how you can do it here? Boom. And one guy handed another guy the disc. Wow, that's how we can share it. And that's how it should be. It should be that simple.
Yes. Yes, and when we buy physical media, we should be able to play it wherever we want. There should be no locks on it. There should be no ties to the internet. I hate that. I hate that when you put in a DVD and it look and it's trying to find the internet. Where's your internet connection? Well, guess what? On this TV, it's not hooked up to anything. So just play the fucking movie, please. You know,
yeah, like I had a friend that sent me. She upgraded to a Nintendo Switch OLED, and she sent me her old Nintendo Switch. She also sent me the SD card that came with it. She still had stuff on the SD card. Nintendo made me wipe the card before I could use it to save games because she had information on it. No personal information, mind you, just game information. Stuff she paid for.
Yep. Because you didn't pay for it. Or, God forbid, you might put your eyes on it. I don't know. Fuck. I don't know. They're such greedy motherfuckers.
Okay, but
we should probably stop being kind to them. I want to break in here for a second.
I want to break in here for a second. It's never changed. Remember Napster? Or do you remember the blank tape tax?
Oh, God, yes.
Sure.
Yeah, well, that's another reason to say fuck you, Metallica.
And, yes, and everyone else who hated Napster and let Apple destroy Napster, fuck you people. You destroyed the music industry. It was you greedy bastards who turned around because you were so afraid of Napster that you let Apple take it over, and look what's happened to the music industry.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I bought new music. It goes back even further
to the blank tape tax back in the 80s.
Yeah, we didn't have that out here, Carl.
Know, yeah.
Yep.
We didn't have that. Sorry.
But we did on the East Coast.
Well, it wasn't
Universal. Yeah, but it was still there. And trust me, one of the reasons that you don't have it universally and then it was finally destroyed. You can thank Frank Zappa for that. And I'm not kidding. But yeah, I mean, it's always inherent. If they're afraid of copying, if they're afraid of you giving something that you bought the rights to, giving it to someone else, they'll find a way to either stop you doing it or to tax or to make money off of it. They'll find a way.
Right.
They always will.
Well, just remember, like, you know, you're technically allowed an archival copy of any media that you buy. But if you sell that or if you give it as a gift or if you show it and you don't even make a profit off of it, you just show it for free, you can be in big trouble.
Yeah,
they don't even like you actually
places.
Making those backups.
Yeah, pizza places. They used to, you know, have Thursday night movies. Come in, have a pizza, sit around and watch a movie, and then the movie industry slammed that shut. Like, oh, yeah, you think you're going to do that? No fucking way.
There was a carpet store here that used to, say for every 10 movies that you rented, they would do a free carpet cleaning. And for every like 20, they'd put down X amount of square footage. And actually it was a pretty lousy carpet store and a pretty good video store. The only problem was they charged a fucking arm and a leg. And this was back in the 80s. When you needed to sell a kidney just to afford a VCR.
Yeah, I remember those. Sorry, see, they're trying to go back to that.
My brain stopped at carpet video store.
look, yo, it's what it was. I can even remember the name of it, Gossett Video, because it was Gossett Carpets.
Hey, I know about a store in Bradford that had a LaserDisc, and it was a furniture store. And that's how we got our LaserDisc back in the early 80s.
Yeah,
day.
You know,
so,
Carl,
yeah.
I'll have to. You'll have to ask me about my connection to the development of LaserDisc.
We'll do that sometime. I want to throw one other thing out there that I just think is the biggest irony at all. Now, if you remember renting, you know, or getting DVDs, and there'd be this ad at the beginning about piracy.
Mm-hmm.
You remember all these piracy ads? And you would say, don't pirate, blah, blah. Guess what? Those piracy ads took the music that they used on the piracy ads. They were sued
yep.
by the composer and had to pay.
Oh, God, that's just so funny.
I'm not joking either. That's not a joke.
Well, I'm sure you're not joking. I just think it's hilarious.
Yeah. Seriously.
It is. It's fucking...
It's all the fucking music for the piracy ads.
It's fucking glorious. I love it.
I know. And so...
Go ahead, Vic.
Well, I just think that big media companies, I know it's not going to happen because I've dealt with teenagers, and teenagers are destroying our entertainment because they're...
Oh, yeah.
They have
TikTok
these
is a horrible thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because it's not just that. It's also that they're watching, you know, they're streaming off of their parents' stuff, streaming services on their phones at school. And so they consume and then stop consuming, and they make these weird choices that the crazy corporations think are the real choices that we're making out there, and we're not. We have 10 million teenagers making the weird choices, and they're doing their programming based on this demographic that doesn't even know how to, you know, put on their clothes. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on that is completely out of our control. And it's all going to come down and burn.
Yes, well, I know exactly how children can be. I teach children. I was in a classroom
yep.
a while back, and we were playing a game of Would You Rather? And I said, would you rather be rich or famous? One little girl said, what do you mean? How can you be famous without being rich? How can you be rich without being famous? And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, if you're rich, then you're on TikTok because you get famous on TikTok and then you get rich. And I said,
right.
you don't think there's any other way to get rich? She said, no, if you're rich, you are on TikTok. And if you're on TikTok, then you're famous. I said, so you think that TikTok is the only way to get rich, and the only way to get rich is to get famous, and the way to get famous is on TikTok? And she went, well, duh. And I said, I said, how about this? Say you do something terrible, and you do something wonderful, and you're in the news, and everybody hears about it. Are you famous? She never thought of that. I said, are you automatically rich? She'd never thought of that. Mind fucking blown.
Okay, here's the thing about that. Children don't have experience at all. And we're, as teachers, we're helping them gain experience. But the only way they can ever become wise about choices is to grow up and start making choices, good and bad ones. But when our big corporations are doing nothing but feeding them, you know, iPhones, we'll just pick on iPhone, feeding them iPhones, and then thinking that we're all making choices that these freaking kids are making who lack experience, knowledge, they don't care about, you know, history or whatever, then there's a huge group of us who are quite unsatisfied, and that's why this show actually came to be. They're thinking out there that, you know, we're going to stand for streaming with ads. When we went to streaming to stop the ads, that's why we paid the fucking money. Yeah. Okay, that's my beef.
I think that's all of our beef. Like, you summed it up perfectly. That was my whole problem with Peacock. Like, I have streaming services. Why are you going to offer me a streaming service that I can't even fucking access? Like, I pay you money for access.
Well, you know, that's what
that's
Don Draper told Peggy the money was for.
I still have not seen most of that show. So, you know, I'm glad it didn't get fucking canceled because I didn't watch it in the first week. Jesus Christ. You know, apparently Mad Men is one. Mad Men, you know, one of the most highly touted.
We're going to end up as two of our most reliable services.
What is?
FX and AMC, we're going to end up as two of our most reliable services for dramatic material over the last decade.
Oh, my God.
Well,
I know.
I hate to tell you this, but AMC is cutting jobs like crazy and shutters on
oh,
the
I know. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what they have done, not what they are doing.
Yeah. I see where you're going there. And, yeah, I just I'm with you. I'm with you all. We are here together in solidarity. I had to watch a show last night because I – needed. It wasn't even a wanted to. I had a desperate need to show my kid this show because they showed me a web series that they were watching. But, you know, since I have all those fancy services that I pay for, I can pull up Netflix and I can pull up YouTube on my Roku TV. I can pull it up on my Fire Stick. Or I can pull it up on my smart TV. Yeah, I have all three of those things. And I'm still pissed about my lack of access. Yeah, I have a Fire Stick for one television. I have a smart television. And I have an actual goddamn Roku TV. They're all for different rooms of the house. And yeah, there's like a shit ton of rooms in this house. So I have all of these things, and I still can't access the stuff that I want, like, for the few weeks or, well, actually for, you know, a year or so, I wasn't able to access any of my DVDs or anything because they were in my storage facility. I was, you know, living on my mom's spare bed, basically. And I couldn't get any of my media, and that's what really started pissing me off was really the last year, 2 years really, but especially the past year where I didn't have access to my DVDs and things like that, my physical media that I bought, and I couldn't access it anywhere else either. And not just I had to pay for it, but the fact that they put shit on moratorium. It's not a 7-year
right.
hiatus anymore. They just do it whenever they fucking feel like it.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, there was a movie I wanted to watch, and then we can get off here, but before I forget, there was a movie I had wanted to watch, and I put it on my watch list, and I went back to it like a week later. It had been taken off. Now, I kept it on my watch list on the off chance that it would ever come back. 2 years later, it was still on my watch list, and it finally came back.
Oh, yeah. I have plenty like that. I have movies on my Amazon watch list that have literally been sitting there for 5 years because I'm waiting. I'm like, the moratorium is only for 7 years, so at some point, this movie has got to come back. But there are so many titles that I can't find anymore and things that I have watched on there before that suddenly aren't available. And it's not just not available. It's not fucking available anywhere. And then I get pissed off and try to go online somewhere and find it to buy. No.
Yeah.
So So I think this is going to be an interesting topic to bring up in about a year or so from now to see how far things have gone. I mean, we've made a lot of comments and a lot of predictions tonight, but I'm really interested to see if we're all still, you know, friendly in a year and doing podcasting together, which of course we will because we're amazing. I want to see where this goes.
Absolutely.
I really do.
I'm going to, at this point, start to wrap up here. But first I want to let you know that there's going to be a second episode that's related to this. And I'm going to basically give that to Vicki because we're going to do this as an intense show. Vicki, do you want to talk about the follow-up to this show that we're going to do?
Well, back in early January when schools all started up again, the CSU system out here in California, down in Fullerton, I think, don't sue me because I don't know if it was Fullerton or not, but it's the CSU system. One of their departments has decided that we, meaning all of us, the science community and everyone together, should not ever use the word field any longer. Because, you know, field, the first thing you think of when somebody says field, you think of field workers and slavery and racism. So we should not be using it, especially in our academic writing, we should not be using fieldwork as one of our descriptions. And I'm just completely, utterly stunned by this. And so that's when I started talking to Carl about doing a show about this whole crazy thing about these, you know, X-ing out, canceling words out
of
my
brain is still hurting.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Oh, and that's where I came in on that was.
Yes.
I will be talking about the fact that there was recently an archaeology convention where the firewalls and everything blocked the usage of the word bone.
Bone. Like bone in your body?
Yeah, B-O-N-E, bone, at an archaeology convention.
But why?
Because bone could also mean, you know, going down to Bone Town. Obviously, we're talking
obviously,
about
yeah.
dicks
yeah.
at the archaeology convention.
Oh, that's my first thought, bone. Now, if you say the word dick, I might think that.
Yeah, well, I mean, in my head, it's like...
But that's beside the point. We might as well just, like, ban everyone who's named Johnson.
Yep. Yes.
Or Richard.
Oh, and that big company, you know, that pharmaceutical company, Johnson & Johnson? That's double dick, okay?
Well, they kind of are, but whatever. So yeah, like I think that intense show.
Come on.
Yeah, like I think this intense
show
is going to be really fun because, ooh, banned words.
Yeah, but also
the
other thing
is that we shouldn't say the word moist.
Well, yeah, of course we should. Because, hell, it hasn't been raining out here for about 6 weeks straight, and nothing's moist. Oh, God, don't say that. Jesus.
And,
everything here in Tennessee is the opposite. It's pretty much been monsoon season for the past month.
Yeah, so it's not moist there either, so don't say the word, because it might give
okay.
a bad
no, it's
but,
soggy.
If I could get
is
in
that
going
to be the
folks,
next one?
Please, if I can get in here, thank you.
Oh.
The other thing that we're going to talk about, which I think is even more important, you know, since we're talking about words and canceling words, there has been two things that have happened. One is Roald Dahl, and the other one is Ian Fleming. And what they are doing now is taking those
yeah,
books.
The same thing.
And basically
neutering them and saying, well, we can't say this, we can't say that, we can't say the word fat because that's fat shaming, you know, and so we're going to say it a different way. And they're taking these books and
they're editing them.
You know, it's worse than
that. No, they're censoring them flat out.
Yeah. What was the word you used as we were talking today, Vic, over the phone?
Vandalism. A friend of mine said that it's I was comparing Hitler. You know, Hitler burned books, and everyone just is so upset about burning books, which they should be. But what Hitler did was burn books, trying to, you know, eradicate what he didn't like. These people are actually going in and changing words to change the intent, to change the content, and that's really vandalism. That's graffiti. That's a crime. That's an actual crime.
I agree.
Well, you know,
and that's what we're
going to
be talking about.
We were looking at some of the changes to The Witches by Roald Dahl. And one of the changes takes it from having empathy about people in different walks of life to making it a statement about something else in a way that shows, well, you should respect them if they're this, because they probably are. And no. Dahl was saying it doesn't matter if you're a king, a queen, a typist, a garbage collector, and now the book has been changed to something quite different. You know, if an author is living and decides to change something, that's fine. Leave the texts as they are. Teach them in context. Let's also, you know, not assume that we're so dumb or sensitive to everything that we can't make decisions for ourselves, because that's really what's happening here, is we're having moral and ethical watchdogs take things away from us by altering them. Fuck that.
Now, really quickly, I know we're wrapping up, but I have to say this. I am going to keep my mouth shut for the most part, but Carl can attest to my rant earlier today. That is actually a third show. That I do not think that needs to be involved with the intent show that we're all going to do together, but the censorship episode is something I have a whole lot to say about. And for the first time ever, I may be able to get my 13-year-old child actively on the air, because in places where I live, like, I'm not in Arkansas anymore, and my kid just came to me earlier this week and said, thank God you moved me out of Arkansas, Mom. Do you know what they're doing right now? Now, Carl, I know you said this, they've been doing this for years, blah, 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 but I've also lived in Arkansas for 37 years, and I know how seriously they've done this and how seriously it's being done now. They are actively, and it looks like it's probably going to happen, trying to be able to ban minors from checking out certain books from the library.
Yeah, they tried that in my city, but not officially. It was just one librarian. She met a messy end.
Yep, it is the whole state, and there are people who are going for it, and my child is, I mean, Tennessee, we're obviously not the greatest. I mean, we're still on the bottom tiers as far as education and things like that. My child is thankful that we live in podunk-ass Tennessee now, because we're not in Arkansas, because that is ridiculous, and we will get all into that like a hundred ways from Sunday.
So let's let Carl wrap this up then.
Yeah,
I think he's been itching to for about 20 minutes now.
That might be a good thing if we go into what we like to call housekeeping. I want to thank everybody for being on the show. I think this was a great show. I think we really had some things to say. Now, I will say this, that we have not been doing a lot in terms of what we wanted to do this month because of Rachel and her moving and her Wi-Fi difficulties and such. But we do have some things coming up here that we're doing. So why don't you talk about what you're going to do tomorrow, Adam?
Yes. What we are going to be doing on my show on Cathode Ray Mission is the long-promised top 10 films of John Ford. About a year ago, maybe a little over a year ago by a couple weeks, the great film scholar Joe McBride and I were joined by filmmaker Gregory Runfeld, and we discussed the career of John Ford. At the end of the show, which went almost 3 hours, we said, well, you know, we still didn't go into enough detail with our favorite films, so we might as well do a show. And we thought we'd probably do it maybe May or June, and things happen, you know, how life is. Well, it's finally happening tomorrow. That is going to be the show. Tomorrow is our top 10 John Ford films. And then on the 17th, we are going to be, we are going to be having another episode on George Lucas as a director, producer, mogul, idea man. And then at the end of the month, we will be having a look at his Young Indiana Jones TV series. So that's what's coming up this month on Cathode Ray Mission.
Okay, and then on Sunday, there's going to be Rock This Town Radio with TC, the Alexander Graham Bell 176th birthday show, and it's all going to be music about phones. So that's what we got there, and phone calls and such. I also want to mention that next Tuesday, which is the 7th, John Killian returns, our friend from XV Planets, and his podcast. He's going to join us, and we're going to do a commentary watch of the movie Home Buddies, which I love, seriously love. It's an underseen horror comedy from 1974 about gentrification, and it's on Shudder, and we're going to be watching that with John, and John is like thrilled to be back with us. And I'm just so happy to have him back. We love him dearly. And so that's what we've got so far coming up. Rachel just got back her Wi-Fi, so we have a number of shows that we wanted to do, but we haven't been able to. And so we're going to get to those two in the next couple weeks. So we're going to get back to being real busy and real, real good content for everyone. So, again, I want to thank everybody who came in today, Adam, Vicki, Rachel. You guys did great today. I'm so glad we did this. And any last words before we head off into the wild blue?
Nothing from me.
Nope, I'm dead.
Oh, well, you know, I know you weren't feeling well, Vicki, so get a lot of rest, okay?
Yeah, I expended all my
else?
Energy.
I know. So rest up, my dear. Rachel, anything else before we head off? I guess that's a no. All right, so let's say goodnight, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Don't let the back bugs bite.